Concerning the controversy last time over Pravriti and Nivriti Marg, which Gail says was in the nectar devotion, she's right. So Dominie pointed out to me immediately after class, in the introduction to nectar devotion, which in my edition of the book is Roman numeral 21, XXI, tiny italicized XXI, it says, in Sanskrit, it says, all activities may be divided into two classes. One class may be for achieving a certain goal, and the other may be for avoiding some unfavorable circumstance. In Sanskrit, these activities are called pravritti and nivritti, positive and negative actions. That's the statement. So that's where Gail read it. It is in Nectar of Devotion. It's in the introduction. I would imagine that in Mahamuni's class, they didn't even deal with that part. And what he said about the other two words, which just flew out of my head, Vidhi and what is Vidhi and what's the opposite? Nisheya, I think. Nisheda, excuse me. Yeah, Vidhi and Nisheda. That means Vidhi are the things that you do in the Nisheda, or the things that are forbidden. So that's what they must have taught. So anyway, but we have to say to Gail, you were right about nectar devotion, okay? So now I'm gonna switch on to the presentation. Do you have any comments, Gail? She has no comments. She's satisfied. Okay. I'm gonna switch to the presentation.
I'm sorry. I was muted.
You have to unmute yourself. Okay.
I had to unmute myself. Anyway, thank you for that clarification. Actually, Mahamuni had helped me that same day also.
Okay.
But thank you for pointing that out.
Okay. Okay, here we go. One more time. *7. Okay, we're now in the presentation mode. So we'll commence with our class. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So now we are in, I did a little bit of text 47. We'll start there again. We've switched without actually sort of announcing it in any way, but just the previous two verses, 45 and 46, have used the expression Vedoktam, Veda Ukta, the word of the Vedas, the injunction of the Vedas, and is described, basically describing what do you want to call a Veda Vaidika karma yoga. This comes from a commentary to 47 by Radharamana. This is a Dvija's pointed it out. Who says that? Who mentions this switch? He said that he's expanding on a comment by Sridhar Swami, and he says that having described a Vaidika karma yoga for the sake of the ignorant as a sadhana for obtaining jnana, he now teaches, he being Avirhotra, he now teaches tantrika karma yoga, which Narada has as his identity, shakshat bhagavat, shakshat bhakti, direct devotional service. And its lakshana, its main symptom, central sign is Archana. That is a deity worship. So that then that purport, this change is made explicit, and I like it. Because here it says, you'll see it in the beginning of the last part, Tantroktena, by Tantra Uktam, by the teachings of the Tantra. So here, Yashu, one who swiftly, this has been a kind of issue about doing things quickly or easily. Like if you look at 11:3:17, Nimi asks how even a stupid person can, he uses the word anjaha, easily, quickly cross over the illusory energy. So here, and here the how a person can cut the hridaya grantham. This word hridaya granti, literally the knot of the heart, or the knot in the heart, shows up many times in Bhagavatam. First of all in 1:3:21. When by practicing devotional service, the knot in the heart is cut. When Kardama Muni, this is in 3:24:4, Kardama Muni is talking to his wife Devahuti, said, "You're going to have a son, and this teaching of the son will cheta te vidaya grantem, will enable you to cut this." It's in the future, the knot in the heart. And Prabhupada comments there, it is explained here that spiritual knowledge vanquishes the knot of the heart. Matter and spirit are knotted by false ego. You see, that's the... This identification of oneself with matter, which is called hridaya granti, exists for all conditioned souls, and it becomes more and more tightened when there is too much affection for sex life. The explanation was given by Lord Rishabhadev to his sons that this material world is an atmosphere of attraction for male and female. That attraction takes the shape of a knot in the heart. So this is the other use of the knot in the heart. And the two uses are closely related. And by material affection, it becomes still more tight. For people who hanker after material possessions, society, friendship, and love, this knot of affection becomes very strong. It is only by Brahma Bhavana, the instruction by which spiritual knowledge is enhanced, that the knot of the heart is cut to pieces. No material weapon is needed to cut this knot, but it requires bona fide spiritual instruction. So Rishabhadev says, this is 5:5:8, Pumsastriya Mittunini Bhavam Etam Tayor Mitto Hridaya Grantam Ahu Ato Griha Kshetra Sutapati Vitaya Janasya Mohoyam Aham Eti. Prabhupada translates this, the attraction between a male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Mittuni bhavam, attraction for copulation, coupling. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the heart of the male and female, so here's the other hridaya grantham, the knot of the hearts, here Prabhupada translates it. One becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of aham, mama, iti, mamaham. So this is the famous hridaya grantham everywhere, which forms the false ego and the identification with the material body. That's the problem about any unnecessary material enjoyment. It causes this... this misidentification of the body, and therefore it's not really good for you. The result of material pleasure is suffering, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So here, this is it. to quickly cut this heart, Nirji Hirshu Paramatmanaha. It says that vidina by vidhi, you know, we discussed that word already, vidhi, with the regulations upacharet, he should worship devam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tantra uktena, by means of the directions which are given in the tantras, the supplementary Vedic literature. Cha, Keshava. Keshava is here described as devam. One who desires to quickly cut the knot of false ego which binds the spiritual soul, worship the Supreme Lord Keshava by the regulations found in the Vedic literature, such as the tantras. So, it's important out of the purport that the earlier instructions are for those who are balanam anushasanam. It says the beginning of the second paragraph in the purport. Now that the path for those who are materialistic has been described in several verses, as the previous thing, this verse described the process for those who are vijna, or learned transcendentalists. In text 45, the people are mentioned as ajnaha. Of course, they are particularly ones who don't follow the prescriptions of the Vedas. But here, anyway, these are now. These texts in the tantra. The sense of the word tantra as a kind of a text is a methodological text. It has the kind of applied scientific sort of procedures. You know, so they're procedures and things like that, a methodological text. So this literature, this group of literature that's being referred to here is sometimes pancharatrika, tantrika. It's mentioned here that Narada Pancharatra, this is a work in five sections, which, because there was some revelation to Narada Muni that was delivered in five nights, that's Pancharatra, five nights. It deals with the worship of deities, deities of Vishnu. And this sort of has precedent. Just as it said that just as Vyas is in charge of the Vedas and the Puranas, Narada oversees the Pancharatra literatures. So we're familiar with Pancharatra literatures. By the way, you see them. They have names like Tantra, Pancharatra, and also Samhita. The Brahma Samhita is a Pancharatra. It's a Pancharatra text. That in the title. And you'll see in the purports is Prabhupada quotes from the Vayavya Tantra, the Satvata Tantra, the Brihat Vaishnava Tantra, the Vishnu Yamala Tantra, the Gautamiya Tantra, the Brihat Gomita Tantra. It's quite a literature. The other name for these texts is Agama. The word Agami means what comes or arrives. And so it has the sense of received tradition, in the sense of like shruti, you know, like that which has been received. It's like smitri, rather, shruti and smitri, right? So this is smitri. Prabhupada elsewhere mentions the Pancharatra, 1539. He says, the transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge can be experienced by our original spiritual senses, which can be revived by chanting of the holy mantras or transcendental sound representations. Such sounds should be received from the transparent agency of the bona fide spiritual master, and the chanting may be practiced by the direction of the spiritual master. That will gradually lead us nearer to the Lord. This method of worship is recommended in the Pancharatrika system, which is both recognized and authorized. The Pancharatrika system has the most authorized codes for transcendental devotional service. Without the help of such codes, one cannot approach the Lord, certainly not by dry philosophical speculation. The Pancharatrika system is both practical and suitable for this age of quarrel. The Pancharatra is more important than the Vedanta for this modern age, he writes. Prabhupada said in many places that the Krishna consciousness movement is like a train that runs on a track with two rails. One rail is the Pancharatrika Vidhi, the regulation of the Pancharatra, and the other is the Bhagavata Vidhi. The Pancharatrika Vidhi having mainly to do with deity worship, and the Bhagavata Vidhi with the cultivation of the holy name, the hearing and chanting of Krishna, and so on. And he says that we need both. So these are the words from the Agamas, the Tantras, the Pancharatras, and so on. When it says here in the text cha, as well as in addition to those regulations which are directly Vedoktam, Dvija says that, I don't know which, Rupa Goswami, I think, or one of the Goswamis says that that means that when you worship the deities, you also chant Vedic mantras. And that's what it's referring to. Okay, so now here is the introduction. We go to text 48. There's a Sanskrit mistake, interestingly enough, if you want to note that, where it says the first word is labdva. It should be labdha with a short A instead of a V and a long A. Labdha. This is talking about the devotee or the disciple. He's one by whom mercy is received from the Acharya. And he's referred to as one to whom the agama has become revealed by the Acharya. See, the word agama is there in the verse. One to whom this sandarshita agama, one to whom the agamas has been revealed, then this person should worship the Mahapurusha in that form which is preferred by him, a particular form. So this is, as is pointed out, this is about initiation. That's also been emphasized in the very beginning of these discourses, that one should approach a spiritual master and take initiation. So here, this is the process here. And so there's in the purport there's talking about again what a bona fide spiritual master is. It should be a Vaishnava. That's basically the, or as we always like to say, a bona fide Vaishnava. It's interesting here, the conditioned souls have various conflicting natures which are engaged in apparently conflicting Vedic injunctions called pravritti and nivritti marg. But the easiest path is simply learn the process of regularly worshipping Advaita Jnana, Lord Vishnu, in other words, who's non-dual, and therefore both pravritti and nivritti are reconciled in this. So here this describes now, to worship the deities, one has to chant mantras. One has to receive those mantras from the spiritual master and has to be taught how to do this. This is what we call second initiation, I guess, in ISKCON. By the way, you notice that in the at the end of the paragraph, the final paragraph, as stated in this verse, Lava Anunugra Acharya. There they have the Sanskrit right. No, they don't. They don't. It should be Labda. I'm sorry. They don't have it right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought they did. Okay. Sorry about that. All the demigods, it says in this final paragraph, all the demigods, whatever exists in the visible material world is meant to be engaged in the service of the Lord, otherwise it has no value. If one artificially renounces material things useful in the service of the Supreme Lord, he loses his spiritual qualification of seeing everything as meant for Krishna's pleasure, and will be forced to think of material objects for his own sense enjoyment. Well, actually, all material objects is meant to be engaged in the Lord's service. And so the real point is here that you have to see everything in relation to the Lord's service. And if you cannot find a way to engage a case of beer in Krishna's service, then you should reject it. So the service of the Lord is the determining point that decides what you should accept and reject. That's really sort of the point here. So that's also, if I'm seeing something as not possibly to be engaged in the service of the Lord, and therefore I reject it, still I'm looking at it in terms of service to the Lord. I can't at this point engage it in some way. So sometimes you have to change things around in order to engage them. Okay, so now he once received the mercy of the spiritual master, has been taught the Agama, given in the Vaishnava Tantras. That's another, that's the literatures there, that literature, group of literature that's there. Should worship. So now we go on to 49. Now it just really just begins to describe the process in summary. Suchi samukam asinam, having properly bathed and so on,